You're listening to New and Improved on Sin 90.7. My name is Alex. Today I'm moonlighting on New and Improved. Usually I'm a host on The Hoist on Tuesday nights, but I'm so excited to be here as today I'm joined by Oscar Mine from New Zealand, Aotearoa band, Soaked Oats. Hi, Oscar. It's lovely to meet you. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Hey, mate. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Firstly, congratulations on the release and the tour of your debut album, Working Title, from late last year. Was there ever another working title, or was it always the plan to call it that?
It quickly became the main plan. Initially, when I started, the kind of event that inspired the or was like the catalyst for the record was a dream that I had of a hand reaching out that I couldn't grasp or shake. And my response to the dream was to think that I was going to write like a critique of corporations and masculinity and all this stuff. And initially I was going to call it Oh Man. But then as the thing kind of, as I started writing more songs and it started taking shape, I realized that it was like, that wasn't the right place to be speaking from. That was kind of like a judgmental place. And Working Title spoke more to the transition to this kind of like, yeah, I guess change of perspective of seeing things as processes, seeing things as events that are always unfolding versus like fixed entities. Like a rock is an event, or a house is an event, or life is an event, or anything. A handshake is an event, or process. So yeah, Oh Man, I guess was an early thing, but then a Working Title.
Yeah, cool, awesome. I read that you like wrote and rewrote like a lot of songs, which I guess speaks to what you're saying about how it evolved over time, conceptually. I was wondering, is Working Title a bit of like a reference to like that perfectionism and how it was like always working? And was every song like, did you tinker a lot with every song, or did some like come really quickly to you?
Yeah, some were quicker. Some were, it was kind of, it's fun. Yeah. I mean, I don't really know. I definitely don't know what I'm doing with writing songs. So they just come in all forms and in all different ways. Some songs would arrive, like one verse just would just be handed to me, and then I'd have to work for the rest of it. Or I'd get a line, and then I knew how the song would end, and then it was about filling in the rest. And then some, I just worked and rewrote until I felt like I had kind of gotten down to the kind of like core of it. Or something, like refined it to its utmost. A song like Day to Day, I just like, I guess because of what I was trying to do with that song, which was do an ode to this, to a person, it was like, I felt, for some reason, I felt the need to just work at that song as much as I possibly could until every word on there was you know, kind of necessary. But I think the Working Title part of it, less about perfectionism, probably more about, I mean, that's just what happened for me, but I think it's more about how a song can have, can wear many faces, or a song, those are the recorded versions of the song that you'll hear. And then when we play it live, or when we play it live in 10 years, it'll probably be a completely different beast as long as the band's still together. But they just take, they're alive. Songs are alive. Songs are unfolding. They're not fixed. I guess there's that perfectionist thing comes into making the recorded commodified document, which is like has its own tensions. But yeah, songs are, songs, I believe songs are alive and constantly shape shifting and stuff. So yeah, Working Title.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Yeah, definitely. Which is kind of good segue to my next question, because it's like,
nice.
Yes. Like the recorded version is like, yeah, completely different beast to playing live and like being with people in a space. I was gonna ask about Christian Wright, who mastered it at Abbey Road, which must have been like really exciting. Like technically as a band, do you have much to do with that side of things? Like what's the process there?
Mastering's tricky. Mastering, we have always done, like, we've sent it to someone overseas to take care of, mainly because of those people have mastered the records that we love, contemporary records that we love. So there's a kind of faith in that process, but I have no, you know, I've never sat in on a mastering session, and it still kind of boggles my mind as to how it, how they approach that part of the, that kind of art form, you know. But mixing, which is like the step before, I mean, this is all just like technical boring stuff, but we, yeah, we're definitely involved in the mixing side of it, which is essentially just like the assembling of it, you know, the kind of assembling of elements. And we're definitely a band that needs helping hands, like a band that needs production, and a band that needs, you know, a band that needs other voices to be like, here you go, because we just get to a point where we just kind of, you know, there's so many voices going on between the four of us, so many ideas, you get to a point where it's just like every option has been laid out and it's just kind of completely gray, and that's kind of when you need a producer to be like, this is the way.
Yeah,
so, okay,
like another person, like a fresh perspective to just
remove
it a little bit. Yeah,
exactly. And you have to trust that person. That's probably the hardest part, because a lot of the time you're like, you don't care about this as much as I do. This is much easier for you to say, but
yeah, definitely.
But we've worked with people long enough now to know that they have skin in the game and stuff, so yeah
definitely. Yeah, that would be kind of scary, just like sending it off to someone and being like, please give me back something that, like, I still feel like it's mine and I'm still like really proud of it.
Well, I guess mastering is like essentially just enhancing what's already there. It's not like they're going to do anything too radical, eh? And so mastering for that process, like getting Christian, we just sent it out to a bunch of people and they all sent back test masters, and then we thought Christian's was the best, and it was by chance that it had all that Abbey Road prestige attached to it, you know.
Yeah. It's really, really impressive. That's a great get for you guys.
It just looks impressive on paper, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Changing tack a little bit, there's like some really cool music videos for the lead singles, like on this new album, that you've been like starring in and producing, and also for the seventh track, Pink Beach, which your brother shot and you edited, and I believe that's your very cute nephew in the video as well. I was gonna say, is that beach like an important place for you and your family and the band? Like, is that a significant place for you?
Yeah, hugely significant beach. That's, it's probably as significant a beach as one could hope to have in their lives. That's on the west coast of the South Island. That's where my dad's family is partly from, Westport. And my folks have a house in Cape Falwind, which is just by Westport. And that's where I kind of, my parents live half the year there, and I've spent, you know, a lot of my life going back and forth from there. And it's, the west coast of the South Island is just like a very particular, it's a very idiosyncratic place. Like, it's like, I don't know if you know much about the geography of the South Island, but it's like, you have the Southern Alps that kind of, they're like this backbone spine that run down the whole west side of the South Island and kind of cut in. So you have like the east coast of the South Island, which is the widest section, and then you have these huge Alps that run along, and then you have this tiny strip of land down the west coast, which is like all of the west coast. So you're kind of walled up against these huge mountains facing the ocean, and it's just like rough, it's guts, like most of the west coast is just like really rough, harsh territory, and so like a particular type of person kind of flocks to it. Yeah, just me and my brother grew up there together. We have this kind of familial history there. And then my brother having had kids now, it was this kind of this continuation thing going on. And you're constantly kind of in the process of understanding one yourself, but also where you came from, you know, and a lot of that is to do with your parents. So there's some sort of investigation of like the beauty of that place, the kind of tension and beauty of familial relationships, and then yeah, it all kind of takes place in there. But I essentially just sent my brother to the West Coast with his family. I gave him a limited amount of film and was like, you have to shoot from sunrise to sunset, and you just have to do a visual ode to, you know, this place, and whatever happens will be the video essentially. And he did very well. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. I was gonna
Cool.
say, like Working Title is your debut LP, but you guys have been around for quite a few years with like some very loved EPs and singles, and you've played festivals at home and overseas. I wanted to ask specifically about the 2018 Milk and Honey US tour in the RV. That sounds like
Oh,
a
yes.
really fun experience, and the US is like such an insane place. What was that like?
Have you been to America?
Yes, a couple of times. My brother lives in New York, so I was just there recently.
Cool.
Yeah, I watched
Cool.
your vlog about being in New York. I was like, oh, Katz's Deli, I've just been there.
Ah, yeah, it's an expensive sandwich, eh?
Yeah, definitely.
America. Yeah. That trip is like a blur, I guess, in the kind of the in our collective minds. We've been together for 2 years, and our kind of silent agreement as soon as we started was just to play as many shows as we possibly could. So in our first year we played like 80 shows. And then in 2018, I think we played a similar amount, which is a lot if you're just kind of playing in New Zealand and Australia, pretty much just New Zealand and Melbourne, you know. And so after kind of like playing that much, and we just saved like all of our pennies, we were like, we kind of felt the need to travel together, and we knew we wanted to go to the States. And then we got a message on Instagram from someone saying, "Would you come and play our house party in Canada?" And we were like, "You do realize we're from New Zealand?" And they're like, "Yes, how much would it cost?" And this family paid for our flights, return flights to the States. And then we played this really absurd imminent year. And then we bought an RV in Colorado, drove it to Canada, broke down like 10 times along the way, eventually made it to Canada and played this kind of absurd private house party in Toronto to what I thought were going to be like the people that murdered us or something. Like, we're just paying to sadistically like take us out or something. But they ended up being quite sweet people. We met a lot of like lovely people at this wild party, and then yeah, took off on around America for 2.5 months, and it was like half tour, half kind of indulgent, aimless drift around the country, which is why it became known as, yeah, like the Drift World was the name of the RV. And I think at its peak we had like 11 people sleeping in it, and it was like a four person max, five person RV, and we just had people sleeping down the kind of corridor of the RV, sleeping in the driver's seat. Yeah, I wouldn't do it again. I think we had one night just together with just the four of us, and it's like my sweetest memory of the trip. And it was like when we were driving to Canada, we just had this night in the middle of nowhere in Iowa, watched the sunset, heard coyotes, and we all slept comfortably. And then from then on out, it was just like everyone was sharing a bed or sleeping on the floor. And yeah, that was the Milk and Honey tour.
Craziness. I was gonna say, was it a bit like I kind of imagine it a bit like Flight of the Conchords-esque, like introducing yourself as this like New Zealand band to these random Americans. Like, were you it, like surprised to find some fans in like weird places?
Yeah, that was far out. Like, that was crazy. Being in places like Buffalo and Rochester and people being like coming through, knowing your music was wild. Man, the Flight of the Conchords thing is so funny. I think people just expect you to be either a Lord of the Rings character or, yeah, Jermaine or Brett.
Yeah,
And as soon as you
definitely.
say we're from New Zealand, people are like, yeah, funny. It's like, yeah,
Yeah.
it's tricky. It is tricky.
It's good in a way as like
Yeah,
an
but it was cool.
icebreaker, just to be like, I'm from this country. And then they're like, oh, great. That's so cool. They can be like
Yeah,
welcoming
say
people.
something dry and
Yeah.
yeah, totally. But that is, I think we're like very lucky as New Zealanders with how I don't know if that's what I think it's the privilege of like music as well, but people are just like very ready to welcome you into their like private spaces. Like it's crazy how easily we get granted that access. I think it's partly being the kind of unassuming, naive New Zealander, and then also just like you play some music with someone, they kind of soften up to you quite quickly.
Yeah, that's actually another great segue. Thank you, Oscar.
Segue. You're welcome.
Because I was gonna say the new album sees you featuring like other artists for the first time in music that you've released, with like Motte on Pink Beach and Church, who has like a rap verse on Divide Symbol, which is like kind of like unexpected, but like a really great addition to the song. I've read that hip hop was like a huge influence for you growing up. Did you like push rap as something to include? Like how did that come about? And did you already know Church before?
I'd never met Church. But I'd heard him. It came about supernaturally. Yeah, it wasn't like an intentional, it wasn't like we should have a crazy hip hop song that'll be unexpected on this record. It was more just I'd heard his voice as soon as I made the demo for that song. I just heard his voice on it, and then I emailed him, told him that I'd heard him on the song, and then he came in and heard the song and then heard himself on it and then wrote his part, and then it was kind of all done in like 2 hours. It was just
Wow.
kind of absurdly natural. He was just aligned with all of the principles of the song and just saw it very clearly and then kind of did his thing on it. But yeah, I think that's just an inherent part of being like youngish and being born when I was. And anyone born, like from the 90s kind of onward is just subject to all sorts of music with no real like, yeah, I mean, at the tip of your fingertips there's everything. So there's no real chronological kind of logic to like your interaction with music. It's just like you'll listen to hip hop and then you could listen to techno and then you could listen to folk and then you could listen, it's like. So I think what's interesting now is the kind of, yeah, these like meeting points of all these genres and how they interact with one another. There's not really room for like that same genre of purity as there was back in the day. It was just like simpler times. But now
Yeah.
it's kind of, there's so much information. So I think the bands that are interesting or will be interesting are ones that like, yeah, could find a way to merge those things, which we're seeing now, like, yeah, there's just crazy shit coming out.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Yeah.
I've heard that you've
Yeah.
been playing a little bit of new music on your tour of Australia and New Zealand. And that you're working on your next album. How's that going, and how do you, like, as a writer, sort of start fresh in your mind about what you want it to be about, after you've been like in the world of working title for quite a while?
Yeah, I struggle with it. It's actually hard. I'm definitely not someone who can like really compartmentalize things. It's like as soon as I'm into a project, it kind of becomes like my whole universe. Like literally, I'm just like scrounging around everywhere to find answers to the questions that are like that have been unearthed in the process of making like. Of discovering a new idea for a record or something. So yeah, even I guess this tour has been like I've just been hungry to play as many of these new songs that we're still figuring out live as possible, just to kind of access them. Yeah, it's tricky. This tour, I think the tour is functioning both as like a closing to the whole working title process, and also a kind of yeah, like opening to the next one, for sure.
Yeah, it's
Whatever that
very,
means.
That will sort of come to be on its own, I'm assuming. Like it'll sort of naturally appear, I'm sure. Yes, very excited to see what that holds for you and the band. We're recording this on the 31st of March, so I hope you have a great show in Wellington tonight. It's your second last show of the tour before it finishes up on April 1st in Auckland. That's all we've got time for. So thank you so much, Oscar, for taking the time to chat with me today. It was really lovely to meet you.